Paul was writing to the believers in a church called Corinth. And he wrote these words. It's using the Message paraphrase. But he says this: "But for right now, friends, I'm completely frustrated by your unspiritual dealings with each other and with God. You're acting like infants in relation to Christ, capable of nothing more than nursing at the breast." Gee, that's a really encouraging word, isn't it? "Well then, I'll nurse you, since you don't seem capable of anything more. As long as you grab for what makes you feel good or what makes you look important, you are really much different than a babe. Are you really much different than a babe at the breast? Content only when everything is going your way. When one of you says, 'I'm on Paul's side,' and the other says, 'I'm on Apollos,' aren't you totally infantile? Who do you think Paul is anyway? Or Apollos, for that matter? Servants, both of us. Servants who waited on you as you gradually learned to entrust your lives to our mutual master. We each carried out our servant assignment. I planted the seed, Apollos watered the plants, but God made you grow. It's not the one who plants or the one who waters who is at the center of this process, but God who makes things grow. Planting and watering are menial servant jobs at minimum wages. What makes them worth doing is that God is the God we're serving. You happen to be God's field in which we are working." Man, I was gripped by this scripture this afternoon. Of course, my dear wife is down for the count. And I was just asking God this afternoon, "All right, Lord, I wasn't prepared to preach. What is the word that you would lay on my heart?" And as I came across this passage, it was like, man, I think this is it. You know, God doesn't want you to remain a baby spiritually. He wants you to grow. Now, a contented baby is really good. A contented baby means that mum and dad get some sleep. That's the reality. Any of you with little ones, man, if your baby's content, if your baby's full, with milk nappy changed, it's sort of like, yep, it's all good. Like, life's good. You know, I'm looking at some of our young parents at the moment, and it's sort of like one of my first questions to young parents is, "How's your sleep? Getting any sleep?" You know, and you know, sometimes I say, "Well, I got 2 hours," or guess what? We got 4 hours between feeds. And Paul is feeling a little bit like a nursing mother, because there's been this argument develop in the church at Corinth about who's the most important. And it's like, you know, well, I follow Apollos, or I follow Paul. Even some very pious, very religious people, they say, well, we follow Jesus. You know, it's like, this is what's going on there. And Paul's just saying, look, as long as you grab for what makes you feel good or makes you look important, you're not really much different than a babe at the breast. If this is what's going to drive you, you know, one of the things that Pastor Melissa and I never want to create is dependence on us. You know, it's one of the reasons why I'm always looking to champion people. I want to see people use their gifts. It's one of the reasons why when we pray, I'll say, hey, why don't everybody lay on hands? Why don't everybody pray? Because it's Jesus who does the work. It's the Holy Spirit who does the work. You know, even in a message like this tonight, okay, I'm the person that, you know, prayed and sought God and I asked him for some thoughts. But if you're inspired, it's actually the Holy Spirit that's ministering to you. You know, I always want to take a back seat in that, because even when you're doing really, I don't know, mundane jobs, like one of the people that blesses me, if I can brag on him, and he's not here tonight, so I can brag on him a little bit without him knowing, is Jason King. Oh my goodness, the growth I'm seeing in Jason. But a few months ago, I spoke to Jason and I said to him, mate, we need somebody to look after set up and pack down. Oh my goodness, that man is constantly doing stuff that nobody sees, got this growing vision of how to welcome people and all this sort of stuff. But a lot of what Jason has to do is really mundane. You know, it's figuring out where we're putting rows of chairs and how many people could we get in and, you know, who's on the roster and, you know, who can't do it and who can I get to fill it and da-da-da. And it's like, really, is that serving Jesus? Yeah, it is. It is when you actually got your focus not on the job itself, but on the Lord who you're serving. And sometimes we want, you know, it's a human trait. We want the stuff where we might be noticed, or the stuff that, you know, people are praising us or thanking us or whatever. And you need to understand that whether you are doing something really basic, you think is basic, or whether you're doing something that everybody sees, actually, we're all serving God and we need each other. You know, this morning, you know, I haven't had one of those mornings for a long time, but I just had a morning where sort of like multiple things didn't go the way I planned for them to go. In fact, I turned up the latest I've ever turned up to church. I turned up at 9:22. 8 minutes before, you know, I was in the door 3 minutes before the clock is going. And I usually say, if you're not at church 15 minutes earlier, you're late, right? That's my position always about most things. So I was late this morning. I didn't know that this morning the team, when they arrived in the building, the door wouldn't unlock. And they actually didn't get the door unlocked to 9:10. All right, 12 minutes after I arrived. Now, when I arrived, it was all done. It was all here. It was all like, I had no idea. I had no idea until after church, Pastor Chris said to me, guess what? We had some fun this morning. I was like, man, I had no idea. I just walked in. But there was all this stuff that happened. And it's sort of like, man, how blessed. I came home from church this morning and was like, said to Melissa, how amazing is our team? And that is just as important as this now. You know, if this doesn't happen, then, you know. Yeah, okay. The question that this passage from 1 Corinthians 3 raises is, how content are you? How content? How content? You know, Paul's saying if you always need to feel good, you always need to grab the limelight, and then you don't feel content when those things aren't there, there's a maturing that needs to take place. How content are you? Contentment comes when you recognize who it is you're serving, and that one is blessed when you would put him first. There's something deep, deep goes on in your soul when you're able to go to bed at night and go, hey, today, God, I served you to the best of my ability. There's a contentment and a peace that comes. Paul said in Ephesians 2:10 in the Living Bible translation, it is God himself who's made us what we are, given us new lives from Christ. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. You know, you were put on this earth to make a contribution, to help others, not just to live for self. You were not created just to consume resources. Eat, breathe, take up space. God designed your life to make a difference. And while many of the best-selling books offer advice on how to get the most out of life, actually, that's not the reason God made you. You were created not to get the most out of this life, but to add
to this life. You were created to add to the earth, not to take from it. God wants you and he wants me to give something back. When you say to God, I'm available, God is able to do immeasurably more with your life than you could ever imagine. Your availability, together with God's ability, enables the kingdom of God to advance. When I say to God, I'm available, and I trust in his enablement, that's what mission is. That's what missions is. All I've got to say to God is, God, I'm here, and I'm available, whatever you would want for me. And then God, he enables. You know, I just look at this young, extraordinary young man, Joash. And I've been seeing this exponential growth. I see it in his brother Duke as well. But I look at Joash and I see, I can see teacher over him. I can see in years to come, thousands of people, Joash, hanging on every word coming out of your mouth. And the temptation will be for you to go, all these people coming to listen to me. And the Lord would say to you, actually, they're coming to listen to me through you. But you're going to see that. I believe it. I can see it. There's this, you know, God would use us when we've got this yes in our heart. Yes, God, include me. Include me in what you're doing on the earth. There's something amazing that gets released spiritually when I say to God, I'll cooperate with you. You don't have to twist my arm. You don't have to make me, you know, I'm not pushed into a corner and it's sort of like, oh, okay then. You know, God, there's something good about, yes, God, I'm here and I'm available and I'm yours and whatever you would put me to, it's all good. It's all good. You were created to serve God. Ephesians 2:10 in the NIV version says it this way, God has created us for a life of good deeds, which he already prepared for us to do. It's like God's got this vision for your life and he's got some good stuff for you to do. And actually, one of the things about life is to figure out, okay, God, what do you want me to do? You know, we've got a run of year 12 students in our life at the moment. So Laura did year 12 last year. Rihanna's doing year 12 this year. Bethany's doing year 12 next year. Rachel was just a couple of years, she's year 3 in uni now. But I know for all of our kids, it's like, what am I to do? What am I to do? You know, back in year 9, the teachers were saying in school, you got to choose now, you know, your subjects and the subjects that you choose. You know, it's like the choices now are going to be the prerequisite for you to get the ATAR, to get into the course that you want. You know, I'm 14 and I'm having to make a choice now. And one of the things that we've often said to our kids is don't allow the pressure of the world to consume you. Do you believe that God orders your steps and guides your days? Do you think that God has prepared stuff in advance for you to do? Yeah, pray, think it through, make your choices and decisions, but know as you are available to God, his enabling is going to come anyway. If the people at the university say, nah, not good enough ATAR, and God still wants you to do whatever, you'll do it. God will make a way. God is the God who makes ways where there is no way. And we've got to trust that. If you claim Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you need to understand, well, God's got my back. And he's got a plan and a purpose and it's good. And as I'm available, he is able to do whatever he wants. And the mission for my life will be magnificent and wonderful and good. I just got to trust. I just got to trust God for it. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. The prophet Jeremiah, don't use this version very often, but the New Century version, says this in Jeremiah 1:5, before I made you in your mother's womb, before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. See, that's deeper than you first read it. Before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. You need to understand tonight that you're not on this earth because of a husband's will or a mother's will. God chose you. If you could get that revelation deep in your spirit, that even before mum and dad did what they had to do, that you're here, that God chose you. Man. You got an issue with self-esteem and self-worth? That's dealt with right there in Jesus' name. If you're able to get that revelation, oh, how it changes everything. I still remember, I grew up with my mum committed adultery and so I was the result. That was the phrase. My mum committed adultery. My mum was married, had two kids, and then committed adultery, and I'm the result of the adultery. You know, her father wanted me aborted. Praise God, she didn't agree, and I'm still here, right? But I grew up with that sort of speak over your life. I don't know the circumstance of your birth. I don't know whether mum and dad were happily married and wanted you, or whether you were a surprise, or whether you, you know, were an accident, or whether there was some trauma or tragedy, some rape, or, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the circumstance of your birth was, but you need to hear God tonight. You really need to hear what God would say you. Before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before whatever took place for you to be conceived happened, God says, you were already on my mind, and I chose you even then. Before you were born, I actually set you apart for a special work. You've been set apart. And it's not just those of us who would have a pastor or priest or bishop or whatever title that get that place, that special place of being set apart. It's anyone who would call on the name of the Lord. There is this recognition, this revelation that comes, I've set you apart for a special work. Now you, I don't know how long you've lived. I don't know the choices you've made. I don't know how you've cooperated with God or you haven't cooperated with God. But what I know is this. The moment that I say to God, I'm available. And it's never too late. Oh, one of my last acts as the head of pastoral care of Hammond Care, which is a dementia and aged care provider, I was asked before I resigned to preach at a service at Hammondville. Hammondville was built in the 50s, has about 1,500 elderly people that live on that site. It was, for its day, the biggest aged care facility. The Governor General at the time opened the facility, da-da-da. I had this privilege, you know, on the basis of history and all that sort of stuff. I had this privilege of being able to preach to people with dementia, you know, many of whom the average age was about 91, the average age. You know, we had some over 100s in the room. We had some 80s in the room, but everybody was pretty, you know, you had to be 80 to be in the room. I still remember people, you know, living with dementia, all that sort of stuff. I gave an altar call. I preached the gospel. I gave an altar call. We had 19 elderly people make a first-time decision for Christ. I don't know how many family members and others had been praying for them for decades. They made a decision. Now, some can say, well, in their dementia they made a decision. But it's like, hang on, I believe the Spirit. Do you know that in that moment, you might be 92 in the shade, but the moment you say to Jesus, I'm available, God can do anything. God can do anything with your life. You might be 15, 16, 17 tonight. And you might have made decisions for Jesus, and then you might have been tempted by your friends and circumstances of the world to do some stuff that has compromised your life. And it's sort of like, oh, I've stuffed it. I've does God accept me? Just get this through your thick skull. The moment you say to God, God, I'm available. God is able to do immeasurably more. God is the God of the second, the third, the fourth chance. Now, that isn't a license to sin. That isn't a license to make dumb decisions. But when I say to God, God, I'm available. Man, that special purpose that he dreamed when you were being knitted together in your mother's womb, that comes to pass. You need to believe that. You need to understand that. 2 Timothy 1:9 says in the Living Bible, it is he who saved us, chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because it was his plan. It's his plan. You're not saved by service, but you are saved for service. You're not just saved for salvation's sake. Yes, you're saved and in relationship with Jesus, but God has work for you to do. In God's kingdom, you have a place, you have a purpose, you have a role, you have a function to fulfill. This gives life great significance and value. It cost Jesus his own life to purchase your salvation. God paid, said the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 6:20, God paid a great price for you. So use your body to honor God. When the scripture says use your body, it's meaning all of you. Use your mind, use your will, use your emotions. Use all of who you are to honor God. That's how, when we talk about being available for God, well, I use all of me for God. You know, God wants you to think well, and he wants you to feel good, and he wants you to, you know, make wise choices and decisions. Paul encouraged us this way. He said in Romans 12:1, because of God's great mercy, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service. The Apostle John, he sort of heard Paul and he added this, our love for each other proves that we've gone from death to life. Now, there's something about offering myself to God and then actually being a person of love. You know, the two, if I say I'm a Christian yet don't love, there's something wrong with that. I've missed the boat somehow. It's a little bit like these Corinthians who are going, I follow Apollos and I follow Paul. It's sort of like, no, there's something, are you babes or are you mature in Christ? You know, Paul's saying that. If I claim to be a Christian yet have no love for others, no desire to serve others, if I'm only concerned about my needs, I should question whether Christ is really Lord and Saviour of my life. Because however you've made a decision for Christ, that decision ought to produce fruit. It ought to mean a changed life. It ought to mean that the priorities are different. And if your priorities are no different, then you need to really ask the question, are you saved? Is Jesus really your Lord and Saviour? You know, it's, you know, for some, Christian, the word Christian is just like, well, I'm British. I heard Mary say that. But I've heard others say that. You know, it's just sort of like culture. No, Christian is about relationship with Jesus and this desire to be more like him. A saved life is one that wants to serve. Not has to. There's a want. I want to serve. Another term for serving that's often misunderstood is the word ministry. Ministry. When people hear ministry, they think of pastors or priests, professional clergy. But God says every member of his family is a minister. In the Bible, the words servant and minister are synonymous, as are ministry and service. They're interchangeable. If you're a Christian, then you're a minister. And when you're serving, you're ministering. when you're ministering, you're living a life larger with a larger vision than yourself. And this has the potential to impact more people than you could ever imagine. Great example, basic example, but a great example is when in Matthew 8, Peter's sick mum-in-law is healed by Jesus. And it says when Jesus heals her, she instantly stood up and began to serve. There's just something about touch from God, and straight away, he didn't have to say to her, serve. She just wanted to serve. There's something about that. We're healed to help others. We're blessed to be a blessing. We are saved to serve. I wonder, have you ever wondered why God doesn't just immediately take us to heaven the moment we accept his love and grace? It's like, Christian, boom. Okay, up to heaven you go. Well, he leaves us here to fulfill his purposes on the earth. How can anybody hear the gospel unless it's preached? How can anybody's world be changed? How can the mission of Christ be known unless the people of God are on mission? Once you're saved, God intends you to use your life for his purposes, his goals. You're called. You're called to serve God. That word called. Wonder if you've ever thought of yourself, I'm called. I'm chosen and I'm called. I'm called. I tried to talk Frank out of going to Portland. All right? But he's called. Bummer, right? But he's called. Right? There's something about call, but you need to understand it's not only Pastor Frank that's called. It's not missionaries or pastors or nuns or priests or people who work full time that are called. The Bible says every Christian is called to serve. Your call to salvation included your call to serve. Regardless of your job or your career, you're called to full-time Christian service. A non-serving Christian is a contradiction in terms. 1 Timothy 1:9 says, he saved us and called us to be his own people, not because of what we'd done, but because of his own purpose. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you were chosen to tell about the excellent qualities of God, who what? Who called you. Anytime you use your God-given abilities to help others, guess what? You're fulfilling your calling. Romans 7:4 says, now you belong to him in order that we might be useful in service of God. Well, how much of my time am I useful in the service of God? How much of my time? Do I so compartmentalize my life that, well, this is God time and this is me time? You know, that'll never do for God. God's pretty jealous. He wants like all of it. All of it. Whether it's in your relationships or whether it's in your playtime, whether it's in your professional life, in your study time. It's like all of it can be used for God's glory. When I haven't got the scripture, but it's like the Apostle Paul where he says we live and move and have our being in him. It's like always, at all times, everywhere, all at once. I'm with God. I'm serving, like his presence is with me. I need to understand that. I like this. I heard this from our brother that we're in partnership with in China as we support the underground church there. But in some churches in China, when a new believer comes to faith in Christ, you know, they'll often give them a Bible. Now, Bible really precious in China, particularly some places, getting more and more Bibles in China. But often someone will be welcomed into the family of God with these words, Jesus now has a new pair of eyes to see with, new ears to listen with, new hands to help with, and a new heart to love others. It's great, great thought, great commission. Great commission. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Each of us has a role to play, and every role is important. There's no small service to God. It all matters. There's no insignificant ministries in the church. Some are visible, some are behind the scenes, but all are valuable. In my home, in our lounge room, in the front room, we have like a beautiful chandelier-type light in the living room. Whilst that's great, it's actually the little tiny glowing light in the middle of the night that stops me from stubbing my toe when I need to get up for the loo, which is now getting regular and often. It's like, you know, it's you needed that image. But it's like, but you know, sometimes we're attracted to the big, you know, and it's you know, it's the basic, it's the faithful, man, that, you know, the last shall be first shall be last, you know, it's, you know, get that in right order. There's no correlation between size and significance. You need to understand that. Every ministry matters because we're all dependent on each other. You know, I choose to be grateful. There's often things that could annoy me or grate me, or, you know, I want this changed, I want that, frustrated. I'm a man of vision. I haven't, you know, I've got the vision, but, I, you know, sometimes I see it, sometimes I don't, you know. But in actual fact, if you just stop and pause and think about who's in your life that just helps do life, man, you can't stay in that place for too long. Tonight, understand first and foremost, Jesus wants a deepened relationship with you. That's the most important thing. He wants, first and foremost, he wants you to know that he loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to know that you're chosen, even chosen before you were being knitted together in your mother's womb. God wants you to recognize that. But he wants you also to understand that in your love for him, in your worship for him, he's got a ministry, a service, a calling for you and for me. He's got a purpose, something he's chosen for you to do. On this Mission Sunday, of course, we're celebrating the fact that together he's called us to make a difference around the world. He's called us to make a difference in Caroline Springs. Now, how does something like the Winter Family Fun Night happen? Well, that's through our missions. You know, I said this morning, you know, we don't make a big song and dance about it. We don't usually say much at all. But we regularly and often have local families in need who come to our door. And I never want to, as a pastor, never want to have somebody, you know, they've taken the courage to contact me. I never want to turn somebody away where it's totally genuine. Whether they're ripping me off or they're not, it doesn't matter. If someone's made the... I never want to turn somebody away. I want somebody to know that God cares and he's there. And they'll only know that as we deepen our love for Jesus and as we say to God, I'm available. I'm available. And so tonight, on this Mission Sunday, I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you, when you're available, God is able to do immeasurably more with your life than you could ever imagine. If you asked me, I don't know, 20 years ago, would I be doing what I'm doing now? No way. You know, many people, you know, who've been walking with God for a time, sitting in this room tonight, would go, goodness, you know, I never knew life could be the way life has been. You know, I wake up every morning to the most gorgeous woman on who walks on two legs on the face of the planet. And I think, my goodness, how is it that I could be married to this person? You know, like, it's, you know, God's got it. He's got it in his hand. All he needs you to do is just, God, I'm available. Let him sort it out. Let him sort the detail. Amen?